Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott.
I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Tim Schwartz.
Hey! here we are again. Another hour of technology nonsense with the guys. Hello, it is Stephen Scott here with you once again on Tech Talk. And he is Sean Preece and he is Tim Schwartz. And how are you guys today?
Good, Stephen, although a little upset by that intro. You know, we didn't get our individual hellos, just lump us all together.
You just got a separate intro. What are you talking about, Sean? As usual, eye off the ball.
I'm offended by that. Trigger warning.
But yeah, no individuality, no independence, but that's okay.
Yes, it's just like life in general. Of course, you might guess we're all married. We got lots to get through on the show this week. We are joined by our Android Anorak Riz. He is coming up shortly, and he is going to be answering your questions on Android. Yes, we finally got there on it.
Well, I hope we'll stop getting emails now, because we are covering every platform.
We do our best.
Yeah, are we covering every platform? I'm sure someone will say we should be talking about BlackBerry at some point.
As soon as I said that, I thought, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. I do apologise.
Yeah, there was a meme, little GIFs that go around, little videos that run on a loop, and it was actually someone opening a can of worms. That applies here. Also, we've got lots of news to talk about. There's quite a lot going on in the tech world. We'll get to that, and more of your emails as well. That's all to come here on this week's Tech Talk. Yes, welcome along again. It is Tech Talk, and we are excited to be back. You know what? At this age, it's kind of nice to be anywhere, frankly. Here we are again, another hour of technology stuff. This week, guys, we're focusing on something spectacular, something amazing, and something we haven't talked about much before. No, I'm not talking about the new Apple iPhone. I am, in fact, talking about Android. A lot of you have been asking us to do more on Android, and you know what? It's all very well saying, and we do a lot of a laugh on this show, obviously, but you know, it is important that we get someone on who actually knows what they're talking about. And that is why we have Riz, our Android expert, or Android Anorak, as we like to call him. Hi, Riz!
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Tim. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Riz.
I thought you had another guest on when you said someone who knows what he's talking about.
Well, we're kind of hoping it's you.
I am too.
Yeah, because we're in lots of trouble if it's not you. You are here to answer questions, not just from us, because I'm sure we will have questions over the time that you're with us, but also you're here to tell us about the latest Android news as well, which is fantastic, and that's kind of where we kick off, because Google I.O. happened recently, and I wanted to start there, if you don't mind. We'll get to the questions in a moment, but I wanted to start with looking at some of the big stories. Google I.O. happened. My question to you is, yeah, what happened?
Okay, well, Google I.O. happened about 2 weeks ago, so we're only a couple of weeks late.
Started already, has he? Hey.
Everyone's a critic.
I think the only thing we really... The biggest thing to come out of Google I.O. probably is the emphasis on AI, which they seem to be pushing a heck of a lot more now. They've got this thing called, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, they've got this thing called Duplex.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Amazing, amazing.
It's an interesting idea where the phone, where you'll actually get your assistant making phone calls for you. So if you want to book a restaurant table or something like that, then it'll actually do it for you automatically. I don't know how good that's going to be. I guess it's just going to be one of those things we've got to wait and see for. But I mean, they had so many different things, mainly related. The biggest theme, of course, was AI and how you can get it to do things. You know, like they had the whole thing with AI integrating more into the assistant. So, for instance, like at the moment, you have to say, okay, Google, and then you say a few things. And I'm sure I've set some people's phones off.
You just set your own off.
And then you have to ask a question, and then you can ask a related question, but you have to say, okay, Google again. They're trying to take that out, so it's more like a conversation.
Amazon follow-on mode, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be interesting. Then they've got parental mode coming, which is to try and get people off their phones. It's like for kids, what they've got is a system whereby if you talk to your device nicely, which nobody ever does, apart from me. I do say please. I've been brought up that way. But apparently it rewards kids. I don't know how it does this, if they use their manners properly. I think some adults could do that too.
That is a fantastic idea.
Isn't it good?
Stephen's always swearing at his Echo device, and it annoys me.
Hashtag fake
news.
It's
not fake news. I'm sure one time it told you off for swearing at it, but...
Actually, she, who shan't be named, but let's call her Lady A. That's not the name I called her that night. But let's just be fair here. Yes, she did pull me up. She said, "That's not very nice."
Quite rightly,
which
so.
I have to say, followed on a diatribe of hate for me. But then that's often how it works. But yes, please, Ruth, carry on.
Okay, so there's that. There's also got a new feature whereby, and this isn't going to make a difference to any of us, I don't think, but what they've got is in a system whereby at certain periods of time, if you set it to work this way, your screen will start losing its colour. It'll go grey. And what they're trying to do is encourage people to get off their phones, I guess.
I mean, that's an interesting, wasn't it? Because they are trying... It seems odd in a way, because you think these companies would be trying to get more of your time.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. The same thought occurred to me. But no, they're trying to make people more responsible, I guess.
It's a nonsense. The more time you spend in front of a computer screen, the better for everyone, I think. It's a total myth that, oh no, people are spending too much time. No, they're not spending enough time. 24/7 your kids should be in front of that playing video games or on Google or whatever. I'm all for full-time screen time. That's what
send
I say.
Send your emails to Sean Priest at...
Yeah.
How much do you learn from, you know, from the internet? It's a teacher. It's like being in school all the time. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Hashtag get out more.
And you can choose what you learn.
Yeah. I think Sean's lost the plot a little bit this week, but we're only 7 minutes in. But yeah, okay, this all sounds good. But, you know, so far it just seems that there's lots of talk around the software, lots of talk around, as you say, AI is a big thing and Duplex. Although I have to say, this Duplex thing, for those who don't know much about it, it did sound, I guess, interesting to a degree, the idea that it can amazing. Call up. I know you think it's amazing, but
amazing.
It's not amazing. It's basically the height of laziness. Now, look, I am the laziest guy on earth, okay? But I'm still... I'd like to think that I'm not that lazy. I'm that lazy person who still wants to get up and do something every so often, like call a restaurant and book a table.
But if you're going to the restaurant, you're doing something then, aren't you? You just don't have to talk to the snotty person at the other end.
Oh,
snotty person. Oh, people person then, Riz. No.
Well, he's an Android fan.
We just had an hour of you telling us how incredibly busy you've been today, Stephen, you see? So getting your phone to call and make an appointment, that's not really an essential telephone call you got to make. You know, it saves time. It's a fantastic thing if the technology works.
Oh, Tim, come on, back me up here.
Well, here's the tricky thing about it, because I think Duplex is creepy yet amazing, and I think that used properly and ethically, I think that it can be a very useful tool. There are people out there who have personal assistants who do these kind of things for, you know, for a job in real life. So it's just extending that ability to the rest of us. But I don't know. I'm torn on this because at first I thought it was creepy and odd, even though the technology is so amazing. And then I went back and listened to the demonstration again, and I'm just so blown away by what it can do and what it might be able to do. So I'm kind of torn on this.
Why not wait and see, Stephen? I know you're cynical on it now, but why not wait and see if it will help some people, you know, even a little bit? Then you never know, do you?
Well, look, I'll be frank here. I mean, all joking aside, one of the things I think this is a great potential for is people with certain disabilities and older people, actually. You know, people who can use this to book, say, a hospital appointment, or people who have difficulties speaking. I mean, imagine someone who might have a stutter, for example, really bad. My father is, in this case, he's got a really bad stutter. He will not go on the phone. He will not call anybody. Now, if he was able to use something like this to enable him to communicate with people, that could be really interesting. But I think there's probably a big privacy issue here. I was reading earlier today that one of the things in America, anyway, when this gets launched, certain states won't be allowed to use this because certain states have laws against recording of calls. And the Google Duplex will have to actually announce itself on the call, which, I mean, that I guess, makes sense. I mean, it's clear it's not me making the phone call if it's someone I know. But I guess if the technology is so good that you question whether or not you're even speaking to a robot, then I guess that could raise a lot of privacy questions. And you know what? I don't want my robot, you know, deciding that I need a haircut in 2 weeks' time and then just booking it in. I want to have some say in this.
Don't tell it to do with that then. I mean, it's only going to do it if you want it to, isn't it?
Well, I may as well do it myself.
Well, then do it yourself. It's okay.
Yeah, I will. I will. That's it. I'm doing it myself. I'm independent, man. Right, what else at Google I.O.? Was that it? I mean, no tech, nothing new to play
with? Well, in terms of hardware, that comes later on in the year. We don't hear anything in Google I.O. to do with that. They've got other little features with Android P. They're talking about that stupid notch thing that Apple started and now everyone else is doing. They've got a system whereby you can cover part of your screen, you know, like the top part, so the you're taking the notch into account. Some phones are doing that on Android as well now, unfortunately. So they've got that. And then they've got things called slices and actions. And what those are, actions particularly are interesting. Instead of opening a full app, you can perform certain actions within the operating system, in the whole system itself. So, for instance, you can send a text message from your home screen, let's say, for instance. Or, I mean, that's just a very rough example. I haven't given us, you know, concrete examples of that. But the idea is you won't have to open, you know, the entire app for certain applications. You could just quickly access that.
Is that like 3D Touch on the iPhone?
3D Touch, exactly, yeah.
It's probably similar, but I'm not in terms of the implications and how it's going to work. I think we'll find out.
And, of course, it might be a bit more accessible than 3D Touch. I've never really got on very well with it.
Oh, come on. 3D Touch is so accessible.
Is it?
Yeah, 3D Touch is accessible.
All right. So I haven't really used it very often. Okay, get over it.
Neither have I, Stephen, so we're in the same boat.
Well, there you go. We found common ground, you
see. We have, finally.
We're like North and South Korea.
Ooh, let's not go there. Blimey.
Maybe not. Right, okay.
Wow.
A bit political there for a second. Right, I better get off my high horse. But before we move on to the questions, you mentioned Android P. Any accessibility-related things that you've heard about?
So far, no. It's very quiet on that because, essentially, and I think it's important to mention that TalkBack generally tends to be updated independent of the operating system. Mm. So these updates come out during the year from time to time. They're working on 6.2 at the moment. So these things work independently. It doesn't work like that other operating system does, whereby it only updates then. So what the only thing that can change is Android P.
Hashtag love, not hate.
The only thing that will change, I think, is the... Sometimes the framework changes, like it changed quite a bit when they went into Android version 7. But other than that, you don't see the changes in the main operating system much.
That being said, Riz, they are talking about this Google Lookout app that's supposed to come later in the year. Is that right?
Yes, they are. They're looking into using this app and coming out with this app later on in the year. And they're all working on all sorts of things. Like they did talk about this keyboard, it does Morse code. So it's part of the Gboard that Google uses. And instead of having the letters there, they've got Morse code to try and help people with certain disabilities. So they're doing some things out there, but most of the big major things they do with the actual apps themselves.
Look, we all have a laugh and a joke about Android versus Apple. I mean, it's become a bit of a joke. Like, you know, I live in Scotland and, you know, Glasgow versus Edinburgh. It's that kind of joke. No one really means anything by it. It's just a bit of fun. Civil War is not going to break out over it.
We hope.
But... Yeah, we hope, yeah. I think it's fair to say that Android is certainly now on a level where, you know, there's really, it's a fair choice now for people. You have got a choice of, you know, going out and buying a phone, be it Android or Apple. You're going to get a good experience regarding accessibility, and obviously then dependent on the individual apps and all that. Well, that, you know, we can have apps that are inaccessible on iPhone as well as Android, can't we? I mean, there's really not much of a difference these days. It's just different experiences.
That's what it all comes down to in the end, because it's all different. People love one thing, so they get attached to it. It's like you, Stephen. You tried it, and I'll give you credit for that, but in the end, you were so into, you know, the ecosystem of Apple that you just couldn't get out of it. Had you been the other way around, I think you wouldn't have been able to get into the Apple ecosystem, because that's what you're used to.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I do not disagree with that at all. I think that I would have probably... I mean, that was one of the things that really annoyed me. You guys know this because, you know, I talked about it at the time and I said to you before, you know, I really... There are some great functions of the Android operating system that I really like. I've talked a lot about the customization of it, but I think that that really matters because you can do so much more. And you can make your phone look different as well, or you feel a bit different if you get fed up with it, whereas the iPhone, you're stuck with what they give you. But I just was a little bit annoyed at the fact, and it wasn't Android's fault or Apple's fault, I guess. It wasn't really anyone's fault. It was just that I'd made a choice. I'd bought all these apps. And I think that if a day ever comes, and I've said this before, but if the day ever comes that they allow you to, if you buy an app, that you can get the same app on your Android phone, so it becomes cross-platform, that changes things. I don't think that day will ever come, but if it did, then... because essentially, you're buying the app from the app developer. You're not buying it from Google or Apple. So you should be able to choose between. Anyway, off the high horse. Let's get some questions, shall we? You've got three questions to answer. Riz, Android, Anorak.
I'm ready.
Right. Get your Anorak zipped up. Here we go. Right, here's your first question.
I have used an Android before at the store, but I don't own one. I use an iPhone. How do you make and receive phone calls on an Android? Basically, how do you get started with an Android?
Now, Riz, I have to say that seems like a very simple question, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like you might think, well, hang on, how do you make calls? Well, how do you make calls on an iPhone? Well, actually, I think this is a really sensible question to ask because a blind person needs to know that if they're moving over to something like this, it's going to be either similar or familiar.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair enough question. The only thing I would say is you have to, like with Android, you have to think about which phone you're going to get. The funny thing about Android is its strength is also its weakness. It's fragmented. And so, but essentially the question of how to answer and how to make calls, well, making calls is really easy, really. You just go to your phone app, you find the contact you want, or you find the dial button, you dial in the number, and then you just press the call button like you do on any device. And as far as in terms of answering and hanging up, well, you can set it so that the power button hangs up calls. You can also do a put two fingers on the screen, swipe up to answer. And Samsung has their own way of doing it as well, where you put your finger on it, slide to the right, and that answers the call as well. So it depends on which flavor of Android you've got, because it can be very, very different from one to another. But she said in there that she went to the shop and tried it. You're never going to learn anything that way much, because people who show you there, they don't know how to run it. So, you know, most people, they have no idea, do they, how to turn on TalkBack or anything like that. You need a good few hours with it, at least, I think.
But that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, you don't have, I mean, I don't know what it's like in the States. Tim, you'll know more than us, but you know, I'm assuming this person we've heard from is in the States. But, you know, I don't imagine there's places you can go and spend too much time like you can with iPhones in the Apple Store. I mean, are there Google stores over there?
There's not necessarily a Google store per se, but any of your cellular companies that sell these phones, whether it's Android or iPhone, you can usually go in and operate a display model. Sometimes you might get lucky in those stores that somebody will know how to turn on VoiceOver or TalkBack, but not usually. Not like when you go to an Apple store where they are trained to know about VoiceOver. But if you at least go into the store knowing how to turn on TalkBack, then you should be able to find a display model that you can play with that and see how it works. But again, you're not going to probably know, unless you've already studied the gestures and know how to use it, you're just going to be playing with it in a store, and how much time you're really going to get to do that. So I agree with Riz. It's going to take at least a couple hours worth of really studying the gestures and learning it, especially if you're coming over from iPhone. It's going to be so different. Well, not so different, but different enough that you're going to want to have that time to spend.
And one thing I would suggest is get a loan of a friend's phone or use a friend's phone for a couple of hours if you can, if you're with them. But is there a quick way to turn on TalkBack if you wanted to do it yourself, Riz?
Remember the whole fragmented thing I was talking about? Mm. Well, that applies here as well. There is a way, if you start up your phone and you wait for the load screen to come up. So you just wait about 30 seconds. You put two fingers slightly apart on the screen and then it'll make a sound and it'll say, keep holding down to activate TalkBack. And then you do that, and then you're in. And it gives you a tutorial straight from the start to get you familiar with some of the TalkBack basic gestures.
Okay, well, hope that helps. Let's get to a second question then. This one's all about navigating websites.
I'm new to Android, and I have a Samsung Galaxy J7 Sky Pro. And my question is about how to navigate the internet. That is one thing I'm having a lot of problems with. Are there any gestures that I should know? Because I'm really having a problem on that side. I am having an issue getting it to read websites correctly. I'll go to a site and it just repeats stuff.
Okay, Riz, over to you.
An interesting question because, and I've got to make a confession here, and I'm going to hate myself for doing it, but I think it's not where it needs to be. That doesn't mean you can't do it, but it's not where it needs to be.
Calm down. I know he's admitted it, but it's okay. Don't go there.
I'm so happy. Apple fans are screaming and applauding everywhere.
Yeah. I'm going to hate myself for the rest of this whole call now.
But you know, it's good you bring that up. It is good you bring this up.
So essentially what you have to do is with TalkBack, it's a case of you swipe up and down to change your what they call used to call granularity, which is easy for me to say. And you can go from headings, you can go to links, controls, and Samsung's own they've got their own version of TalkBack, which is outdated now. But they've got a similar system whereby you swipe up and down, choose whichever one you want, and then you swipe left and right. The one thing I will say about Android more than iOS is swiping isn't as reliable in terms of you don't always get to the sections you want to with swiping. You have to learn what they call explore by touch. And explore by touch means put your finger on the screen and move it around. So you're exploring the screen. You find out where controls are, where buttons, where text is, and things like that. That often is the best way to learn. And you'll also have different... Because there's so many different browsers on Android as well, she didn't say which browser she was using. If it's Chrome, that's probably the most accessible one at the moment. But I don't know if she was using that, or the Samsung has a browser as well. I don't know if she was using that one. I mean, I know it's not a proper answer in that, because yeah, and I would need more information, you know, to know exactly what she was running, which browser she was running, because they're so different.
All right.
Oh. Yeah. So basically, what you need is a way to choose what website element you want to jump to. It's like you say, the what do they call it, Riz?
I can't say that.
I knew you were going to do that, and I fell for it.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. Yeah,
granularity.
So you swipe down and then up in one gesture.
No. You could just swipe down with one finger, and that's it. You change it to, for instance, it'll change your headings. Then you can swipe left and right to go to that heading, to go to various headings in that mark.
I actually thought that wasn't too bad, because otherwise with the iPhone, you've got to do it with a rotor, which you have to put two fingers on the screen, turn.
Oh, horrible. Like I hated that.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward, actually.
People make fun of the angle gestures on Android, but I hate that stupid rotor.
Okay, well, the stupid rotor comment aside, we shall move on. But, you know, actually, I don't disagree with you in that one, Riz. I think it sometimes can be a bit annoying, whereas I did like the way you could just jump using your fingers, as you say, swipe down, it would move from headings to links or whatever else you chose it to do. Not a bad feature, actually. We got an email in from Josh, who's said, "Hi guys, I'm enjoying the new Spotlight on Android, and I have a question that I'd love to have answered. Is there an equivalent to the two-finger double-tap iOS gesture on Android? I've grown to love the plethora of toggles this gesture effects, and would hate to think of giving that up if I indeed made the switch."
Okay, what on earth is a two-finger double-tap? I have no idea.
So that is it's more of a system-wide gesture that will, for example, hang up or answer a call, or it will stop or play music. It's basically the play pause button gesture.
Oh, okay. It's been such a long time, I completely forgotten. Okay, long and short answer is no, there isn't. And go back to what I said before about the fragmentation. How are you going to implement that? And there's so many different versions of Android out there, so many different versions of TalkBack even, so many different versions, you know, because people can even take stock Android, build their own, you know, skin on top of that and change things around. So as much as TalkBack's got, that's a feature that I've seen a lot of people who come across to from iOS, they ask for that feature, but at this point in time, it's not available.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get one more question then. This one relates, Riz, to Braille input on the Android.
I have been using Android for about I would say almost a year and a half now. I had a Galaxy 7. So I was actually have two questions. The first one is, I had to recently move back to an iPhone, and my reason for switching back to iOS from Android was simple, actually. There was no Braille screen input. And honestly, Braille screen input, it was vital. I didn't like not having it. And I tried different third-party apps from Android, and all of them sucked. And they were extremely expensive, and you couldn't make the Braille screen input your default keyboard. You had to turn TalkBack off. So has Android started, or have they started working on something where it's now part of the TalkBack accessibility settings, where it incorporates, you know, TalkBack along with it, like Apple, or is that still not a thing? And the other question is, I have a Kindle Fire because I wanted to continue to keep up with Android. How do I download the Google Play Store with a voice view?
Okay, so 2 points there. One, we'll start with on Braille input. Has it changed?
Again, the big quick answer is no, it hasn't. But there is a longer answer. They are working on a better version of Brailleback. They got a public release. They had a public release a little while ago where other people could work on it as well. And as far as I'm aware, and as far as I'm not a Braille user. I suck at reading Braille. So, but as far as I'm aware, and as far as I know, from what I've checked, Braille, they are trying to come out with a new version of Brailleback eventually, which they say it's supposed to be better than what's gone before, which isn't much because it's true that Braille hasn't been supported too well on Android so far.
Oh, way to sell it there, Riz. when you say, I assumed that Brailleback was to do with Braille displays, but that's also to do with Braille input, is it?
As far as I'm aware, yes. They're going to have both systems incorporated, as much as I know. But like I said, I could be wrong and it might have changed since then. Watch this space with the Braille thing, I would say.
Okay, so let's move on to the second question, or the second part of that question, Riz, and it's around the Kindle Fire, or Fire Tablet, as it's now known. Can you download the Google Play Store?
Yes, you can. It's doable, but you'd have to have a bit of knowledge because you have to do a little bit of backdoor work to get it on there. You know, it involves copying files onto your Fire Tablet, and it's doable, and you know, if the person really wants, I can actually do a quick recording with, you know, proper instructions. Like, because you're doing something that it's not meant to do.
Oh, hang on, I'm not going to have the FBI at my door, am I?
No, it's not illegal. It's not illegal. You can do it, but it's not on there by default. So don't worry, the FBI's not coming for you just yet, Stephen.
But
as far as I know,
you don't need the Google Play Store because the Amazon, you know, you have the Amazon App Store.
They do have their App Store, yeah. I don't think it has much as the Google Play Store does.
No.
And that's why some people do do it. And it is doable. It's just a bit fiddly.
But I think that the point of the question was, though, that the person wanted to get Voice View. But Voice View's already on the Kindle.
Yeah, Voice View's already on there. Yeah, it comes by
default. Maybe you're not aware of that, but the Voice View's already there. And it would be, I guess, activated in the same way in terms of switching it on. I mean, I don't think you can use Lady A to switch it on, which is a bit strange.
No.
You think they would build that into it? But that's, at the moment at least, that's one thing that the Fire Tablet does have. In fact, it's got quite a bit of accessibility in it. And I have to say, it's pretty decent as well. Considering, again, if we look at the price point of, say, a Fire Tablet versus an iPad, you know, I'm using my Fire Tablet a lot more. I'm liking it. And the strange thing, I remember doing this feature and I was raving about how wonderful the Fire Tablet was and I loved it and it was the most amazing thing. And someone said, yeah, you know it's based on Android, don't you? And I was horrified because I did. I really liked it and I thought this was great, which is strange in a way because I don't know. I really enjoy using it on that. But then I always consider my Fire Tablet a leisure device, so I'm not using it in an environment where I need to get information quickly. Unlike my iPhone.
Can I just go back to something quick, Stephen? The whole web thing. I do have to say, even though, you know, it isn't where it should be in some people's eyes, the other day I did do a quick banking job on my phone, just because I do have the app, but I just did it on my on Chrome, and it was really easy. It's gotten so much easier from when I started with Android. And that's the thing I have to, you know, the overall thing I have to tell everybody, that you just got to stick with it a little bit and it'll get better and better. From what I saw when I started out, and I'm an experienced IT user, so my situation in that way is different. But from what I started from to where we are now, it's almost a night and day thing.
I think it's a really important point, Riz, because those of us who have been using Apple and VoiceOver for so many years, you know, some of us have been using it since they released it, we're used to a lot of these features because they were there earlier, and Google has been coming along. And like you said, we do have this battle back and forth, and we'd like to have fun with that. But that being said, I think you're right. Google is putting a lot into this, different Android devices. And as you said, even though it's so diversified in each phone,
exactly,
they are putting stuff into this, and they are putting some effort into making it more accessible and working on it all the time. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that Google is really working hard at this. So I do give them credit for that. I did have a question, if we could, real quick, about Google Play, as far as putting it on a Amazon tablet. There is a benefit to that, right? Because they are really trying to make Google Play Store more robust.
Yes, they have a little check thing on there. Yeah, they've got this security checker, which scans your apps whenever, all your apps, it scans them just to make sure they're okay. So, you know, if you want to download your apps, you generally want to do it from the Play Store, because that's the most secure way.
Well, Riz, I look forward to chatting with you more.
Absolutely.
New sparring partner here on the show. Fantastic. Next time, we'll get more questions. If you have a question for Riz that you'd like answered, you can email us techtalk@rnib.org.uk, and you can mark it for the attention of the Android Anorak himself. Riz, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Riz.
Thanks, Riz.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Sean.
Okay, time for this.
News from the internet.
Okay, let's kick off then. We were talking about the Fire tablet, and one of the stories that's stood out for me this week, guys, is that Amazon's A-Lady will be preloaded on some of Acer's new laptops. Exciting.
I just don't get this. I mean, she is getting everywhere, God bless her. I love the new hands-free feature on the Amazon Fire tablets has totally changed it for me. I use it all the time. It's great. So the more places I can get Lady A, the better. I can't get enough of her. I love you, Lady A.
She is quite promiscuous lately, isn't she? She just keeps popping up everywhere. And I think this is a good thing that...
Tim.
I'm so sorry.
That's disgraceful.
Anyway, I think it's a good thing that Lady A is being implemented in so many different things. Not only are we seeing her put into white goods in the home, but you know, PC manufacturers like Acer adopting Lady A and putting her into their PCs right alongside Cortana, which is quite interesting. You're going to have two choices right there on an Acer laptop or computer. So yeah, I think this is only a good thing.
First ones that will get it. The Aspire 5, the Nitro 5, Spin 5. These sound like washing machines. Both 13-inch and 15-inch versions. The Spin 3 and the Switch 7 Black Edition. Yeah, so if you buy any of those, then you'll get her on your Windows laptop. And it says it will work in the same way as any other A-Lady-compatible hardware. You can ask about the weather, handling your schedule, managing smart home devices, and more. This reviewer says that they would rather have the A-Lady than Cortana any day.
Of course.
Obviously Acer agree. But it says that new laptops are available from Acer and its retail partners now. But I'm a bit bemused by this one in a way. I kind of think, it seems to me that you think that they would want Cortana. Microsoft would want Cortana in their systems. Is this defeat that Cortana's just not that great?
No. What this is Acer and whatever other hardware manufacturer basically nailing a Echo Dot to their laptop. Absolutely nothing to do with Windows, as far as I can tell. This is hardware specific. So Microsoft haven't really got a say in it. I'm assuming they wouldn't be happy about it, you know, because as others have said, who's going to use Cortana?
Oh, but hang on a minute. How does that work? How does that work, though? I mean, if you've got Cortana, I mean, it's in the system. I don't know. I mean, is it in the system the same way that Cortana is? You know, is there you just speak to the computer and the software is built in? Is that how it works?
Well, that's the thing. How much control is it going to have over the system? I'm guessing none at all. I'm guessing this is just a Alexa device as part of the laptop rather than having any control at all over the Windows system.
Right, okay.
But we'll have to get our hands on one and find out, Stephen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was what I took from the article, though, was that it seems like it's just going to be Echo-specific functions. It's not going to do anything to control the actual laptop. You'll still want to use Cortana if that's what you want to do, but it's still going to be there as a personal assistant within the system, just only as what Echo usually does.
Well, I'll be interested to see what happens with this one. Also, there's a nasty rumor. Oh, yes. And this one is that, well, this isn't a rumor, actually. This has happened. Apple have cut the USB-C to Lightning cable prices. And the reason being is because, apparently, there are rumors that this year's iPhones could include a USB-C to Lightning cable in the box and finally move away from the old USB-A cable. What do we think about this?
Terrible idea. Absolutely terrible idea, and it'll probably happen because it's Apple. Of course, yeah, USB-C is going to be the new interface of choice. I just don't think we're there yet. But, you know, Apple are pushing us there, kicking and screaming, so it'll probably happen.
You up for this, Tim?
You know, I'm up for it if this is going to be the future, like Sean said, if this is where everything's going to go is USB-C. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. It is a lot faster of a connection. It may charge a little faster or better. That remains to be seen. I believe USB-C cords and cables are backwards compatible to USB-A. So as long as it's a backwards compatible cable, I don't think it's really going to affect a whole lot of people. And if it's something that USB-C becomes more commonplace, well, then I don't really see the problem with it. It is a little bit more expensive of a cable. So, of course, that is why they're pushing down the prices of the current cables to get us ready for it. At least that's what the speculation is. But like I said, as long as it's backwards compatible and it does offer the speed that it promises with USB-C, I don't really have a problem with this.
No, I'm very unhappy about this because I've just dropped £60 on a 10-port USB charging station. And now I'm going to have to go out and find something else to fit this new phone that I want this year because I do want to upgrade.
No USB-C ports on it?
No.
Oh, well, USB-A. They saw you come in, fella.
They did.
Yeah, that's because I live in the present, not the future.
You probably bought it on sale knowing you, and that's why it was marked down because they knew this was coming.
Maybe. Right. Two more quick stories. One about Aira this week. Aira is the rather incredible system of essentially giving you an agent in your ear using camera glasses from Google Glass. Now, you might have heard the news on Global Accessibility Awareness Day. We haven't had a lot of time to talk about that this week. Although in saying that, you know, everybody else talks about it for a day. We talk about it every week. So there. But anyway. That soapbox aside.
Bit of jealousy there. Yeah.
But, you know, it was great to hear people talking about accessibility and the various features and all of that. Things I didn't even know about. I mean, incredible functions. One I read about this week that really kind of got me was that on iPhones, if you've got a hearing aid, and it's, I think they call them MFI, I'm not entirely sure what that means, but MFI hearing aids, that basically connect to your phone. If you struggle to hear in, say, loud rooms, maybe you're in a restaurant and you're struggling to hear what the person across the table from you is saying, you just push your iPhone across the table and sort of direct it at them, and it will actually let you hear that person. It will use the microphone in the iPhone and help you hear more clearly. Is that not incredible?
It is. It is. And there's like so much stuff we don't know about other disabilities. MFI is made for iPhone. So this is hardware that is specifically sanctioned by Apple and certified by Apple. And some amazing stuff out there.
Anyway, I turned into Billy Connolly there for a second. I digressed. but here we go. We get back to the point, and that was Aira. So Aira, these special glasses that you can buy and wear, very popular in the States. Or Tim has one. I'm very jealous. Yeah. Well, not one. You obviously have two because it's... Yeah. Anyway, but you got the glasses and you got the service and you love it, but it's not available in the UK yet. And on Global Accessibility Awareness Day, I was very excited. I stayed up all night watching the Twitter feed, hoping that the announcement was coming. They announced something big was coming. And they said, if you live in Canada, yes. I don't live in Canada, but I'm excited for Canadians. If you live in Australia, oh, yeah, I like Australia. And that's it. Then you've got Aira. Oh, great. Fantastic. Thanks. So not here yet. But coming soon, allegedly. The trials are ongoing, which is good, and they are asking people to sign up for trials. If you're interested, find out more by searching for AIRA, A-I-R-A. And check out the videos on it. It does sound pretty good. Tim, I know you're a huge fan.
I am a huge fan of AIRA. They have been going strong here in the States for quite a while, and it is a very good service, and I can't wait for you guys to be able to access it as well. As you said, the pilot and trial programs are going on currently in the UK, so it is past just a testing of trainers phase and training those trainers. It is actually getting out in the hands of people who sign up for the pilot program. As a matter of fact, right now in Canada, UK, Australia, and United States, they're giving free access in all airports available. So people that are in the pilot programs can actually use AIRA for free in airports so they can get a handle and a grasp on how it works there. So they are really working towards getting this out globally as fast as they can. And I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see you guys get it and use it.
Going to be expensive, though. That's the only thing about it. But it's not a cheap device to own. But you know what? It for accessibility and for getting around, I mean, I don't know about you, Sean, but for me, it might make the difference between deciding to go out to a supermarket and not.
Exactly. Yeah, no, this can make a huge difference. Can't wait to try it. It's one of those things, though, with the price point it's at, I really don't think I can afford it, but it's going to be one of those things that I just think would make such a difference to my life. So, I can't wait to try it out.
Just think about maybe having less takeaways.
No.
Right, okay. And Microsoft, sorry to bring that up, sore point clearly. Microsoft apparently are launching an accessibility-focused Xbox One controller. Now, this, I bring this story up because I want to let people know. I know people get their news from us. So I want to share this story. But I find that this story is probably more of interest to people with physical disabilities because it doesn't appear, and I'm maybe not reading it right, but and that wouldn't be the first time, but I'm not reading anything here that would be specific to people with visual impairments. However, this is great news from my understanding for people with physical and motor problems.
I think that's right, Stephen. I think that they are trying to gear this towards people with a physical or motor disabilities. However, of course, all these controllers have certain types of haptic feedback. They have certain buttons. From what I understand, these buttons might be a little larger, maybe easier to see or even easier to utilize or navigate. So that's good for people with motor skill issues, but maybe also, you know, helpful for people that have low vision. I also read, I think, in there that the buttons may be more programmable. So someone who is blind or visually impaired may be able to program these buttons to do certain things or certain functions within certain games. And I'm not shocked by this. Microsoft has been trying to make everything more accessible between apps, not just for us, but then even within their own systems and their own software, as well as their hardware. So yeah, I think it's only a good thing. And with more and more announcements from software companies saying that they're trying to put accessibility into games, we've talked about EA Sports and other game companies trying to do that. This is a good marriage of hardware and software. So we'll see where it goes. It's just a leaked rumor right now with a picture of one, I think, as well, they've really got here. But I think it's something to definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah. And, you know, Sean won't like it. So let's move on. Right. Time for this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Okay, we're going to turn to emails. Chris is back with us, and Chris, we're going to jump right in because time is running away from us here. Let's get right into our email inbox then. What's our first email today?
Our first email is from Simon Powell, and he says, "Hi, Steve and the gang. Steve, thank you very much for your recommendation of a SanDisk Connect drive. It works brilliantly. I bought the 256GB version, and this works on both Android and iOS, meaning that any one of my devices can stream media from it. My thanks also go to Greg, who suggested the Music Streamer. I will shortly be using this in conjunction with Plex, as brought to me by Dot2Dot, another Tech Talk innovation which described a skill where you could stream your own media through Amazon products. I'm sure that you know this, but there is an app called Xero, S for Simon and not Z for Zebra. For $6 a month, about £4.50, they provide an extensive audio-described collection. This includes talking books and radio plays and much more. In conjunction with Netflix, £7 a month, you have access to the original, new and old alike. Worth a mention, it has brought new life to my Amazon Fire tablet. It is also available on Android and iOS. Keep up the brilliant work. Many thanks and best wishes. And that's from Simon.
Okay, thanks for that, Simon. Good suggestions, guys.
Big tick for you there, Stephen. Yeah, exactly what he needed, the SanDisk Connect. It does sound good. You still enjoying yours, Tim?
I'm really enjoying mine, and it is absolutely easy to use, just like Stephen talked about originally, and he said there in the email. It is so easy to connect. It's so easy to operate on your phone, and it's nice that they have an app for both iOS and Android so that you can use it cross-platform. But yeah, it's such a great little device for such a great price.
Well, I'm here to serve. That's all I can say. Right, let's get to another email then, Chris.
And this email is from Jules Allam, who says, "Hello, Steve and team. I have a new app for you, but you will have to find your old Android phone and vacuum off all the dust before you can try it. You sometimes mention on-screen and Bluetooth keyboards, but I cannot remember the team discussing the option of voice typing. I can understand that. I have always had issues with it myself. One of my main worries has always been punctuation. As an example, if I say question mark, how can I be sure that an app will actually type a question mark rather than the words question mark? Last week, I discovered an Android app that seems to solve the problem. It's called Your Voice Typer by Chat LLC. In its default mode, it records in short snippets, then stops recording. Across the bottom of the screen, you can easily bring up a list of common punctuation marks and new line. You simply tap the mark you require, then tap the microphone button in the middle or bottom of the screen to start recording the next snippet. I found it to work surprisingly well. Understanding of my voice and spelling have also been reliable. This will never be as fast as using an on-screen keyboard for someone who is nimble and confident with one, but not everyone is. For longer texts, I still recommend a Bluetooth keyboard, but for a quick note or text, I think this is a viable alternative. Notes are not stored by the app, but are easily sent to the clipboard or a wide variety of popular apps. I purchased this in a sale last week for 69 pence, so not a piggy bank breaker even for you. I hope some listeners may find this useful, and that one is from Julian.
Even for you.
Even for 69p, you.
69p, yep. Bargain. Sounds fine. Whatever works for you. I would say that I think the punctuation problem, you're never quite sure if it is saying question mark or putting the symbol in. I think that pretty much is solved in the latest dictation on most devices. It will figure that out for you. But yeah, sounds good. Interesting app.
Yeah, it does sound quite good, actually, this app. I must say, I do use dictation. I have a strange relationship with dictation on my iPhone. It seems to work perfectly some days, and other days it is awful. I know that, you know, when you, the difference of your voice in the morning as to the afternoon might be, you know, but I don't think it's that different. You know, and I'm a broadcaster after all. So, you know, you think it might understand me. No? Okay. Tim, what do you think?
Well, I would say that most of the time I don't have any problem dictating with my iPhone. I'm not sure how it works on Android, but you're right. There are those days where it seems like I'm speaking some sort of odd, crazy, different language to my phone.
American.
And well, anyway, we won't go there. But yeah, sometimes it just brings up words and I'm like, that is not anywhere close to what I said. I don't even know where it's getting this kind of thing. And then there are times where it gets, I'll say maybe three or four sentences and it gets it perfectly, punctuation and all. So yeah, it seems to come and go. But for the most part, I think it's pretty good now, like Sean said.
Good shout from Julian there. Thank you for that one. Let's go on with another email from Billy Burrell, I think it is this time, Chris.
Our third email today is from Billy Burrell, who says, "Hi, Stephen. Just a quick email to ask if you know whether or not there are any volume settings on the Fire tablet that are not immediately obvious. My wife bought me one as a birthday gift after I told her about the demonstration you did on Tech Talk. But whenever I try to use earphones or headphones with my tablet, the volume is so low that I can't hear whatever it is that I'm trying to listen to, whether it's music, books, or even Netflix. I've been into the settings to see if there's a separate volume control for headphones, but I can't seem to find anything. Am I missing something? Best regards, Billy Burrell."
Okay. Sean, I know you were looking into volume controls, actually, for a separate reason, but has this come up? Because I always thought there was multiple options when it came to voice volume.
Exactly. On Android, you do have the functionality of individual volume controls. So for media or your screen reader, whatever's playing, you can control the volumes individually. And I thought the same was on the Amazon Fire tablet, but I can't find it. I don't think it is. So I had a look, and in settings, you've got sound and notifications. In there, there's three separate volume controls, one for media, one for alarm, and I think the other one's for notifications or something like that. So check those settings. Also, when I did plug in the headphones and keep hitting the volume up button, I did get a dialog box on the screen saying, are you sure you want to allow high volume or something like that? I double tapped on OK, and the volume was loud enough for me. So those are a few things you could try, but I'm assuming you've looked at those already from your email. Now, just because I am so organized and prepared, I also did a quick Google search to see if this is a known issue, if other people are having this problem. And yes, you are not alone. It does seem like there is some sort of issue with this. Now, the solution for 99% of the problems that I found was a different set of headphones. It seems to come down to impedance. Let's not get too technical, but basically the lower the impedance of the headphones, the louder the sound from the tablet. I'm guessing the output from the headphone jack on the Amazon Fire tablet isn't that great. So you do need some pretty decent headphones to make the most of it. Now, I'm just using my Apple AirPods because that's the only headphones I've got in the house, and it sounds okay to me. But if you've tried everything else, then why not grab another set of headphones and give them a try? I know it's a bit annoying, but it may solve your problem, and I don't think it's an issue on your individual tablet. It does seem to be something that a lot of people experience. But either way, get back to us and let us know how you get on.
Okay, Chris, let's get another email.
So this one's from Rebecca Skipper, who says, I just want to take a moment and thank everyone in the team for being so responsive to listener emails and the weekly wine. I have worked with the Ticket to Work program and I have been successfully employed in the past before pursuing self-employment. However, I just want to encourage listeners to consider self-employment as an option. I have a good rapport with my local lighthouse for the blind and just need to get over my fears when it comes to managing inaccessible technology in the workplace. And that one's from Rebecca Skipper.
Oh, thanks, Rebecca. That's really nice of you to say that. And yeah, we do want to get to all your emails. We only get the hour, as we keep saying. But, you know, we do like to get your emails. And, you know, we're glad you're getting on well with it. And, you know, that challenge of inaccessible websites is something that we just seem to be continually facing as blind or partially sighted people. Right, Chris, let's go on with another email because time is upon us.
So this one's from Michael, who says, hello, Tech Talkers. My name is Michael, and I live in the United States in the state of Illinois. I've been listening to every Tech Talk episode for almost a year, despite studying law full time. These episodes have helped me tremendously in staying on top of technological developments. I have a question about accessible printers. As you all know, many modern printers have touchscreens. Do any of these printers have built-in accessibility features for the blind? I know that it is possible to control some of these printers using computer software that comes with them, but I was wondering if there is any printer, mainstream or specialist, that has a built-in screen reader. I have no functional vision, so I do need speech or braille. Any suggestions would be gratefully appreciated. All the best, Michael.
Well, I think the short answer to that one is no. I don't know any printer that I've ever heard of that's accessible. And that's the problem now. A lot of them do have these touchscreens in them. The one I bought one of those HP printers that you buy and you get it with the instant ink, which I found, frankly, quite annoying. Moans, if I print too much, the printer emails me and says, now hang on a minute, Stephen. I think you'll find you've printed 16 pages this month when your free plan you get, because I chose the cheapest plan I could find, only lets you print out 15. Utterly disgraceful. So my printer and I have had some serious words. But I will say this, actually using the printer, setting up the printer, this one I got, I had to get a sighted person to help me with. Whereas using it day to day, it's fine because all I'm doing is printing. I don't really use much of the fancy functions of it. Not that I probably would be able to anyway, but most of it is accessible on the computer. That's my only experience. Guys?
Yeah, I would agree with that, that sometimes you may need some help setting up the printer. I've been an HP guy for, gosh, as long as I can remember. I've only ever used HP printers, and I think the setup is usually pretty good. And like you said, being able to use it within your desktop computer, the settings are pretty easily, you know, accessible. You can usually do most everything, scan, print. Any other kind of setting that you want to change can be done right on the computer. So yeah, is there anything with the screen reader built in? No, but you can usually find that you can do everything that you need to do right in the desktop.
Yeah, I'm always a little bit wary of saying, no, they don't exist, but I've never heard of one and I've never seen an accessible printer, at least one with a screen reader. I've seen plenty with loads of bump-ons, you know, glued onto them. But for the most part, they don't need to be accessible. It does depend on what functions of the printer you want to use, such as photocopying, etc. But again, bump-ons usually allow you to get around that. And most of the time, if you do have an issue with a printer, the good old-fashioned turn it off and turn it on again will resolve most issues. Other than that, yes, like everyone else has just said, you can control most of the functions through computer software. The only real problem I've had with accessibility when it comes to printers is setting up the Wi-Fi network. If it's a wireless printer, you need to connect it to your home Wi-Fi. Yeah, I've always needed to get site assistance for that.
And of course, my best advice to you would be download the Be My Eyes app. And then if you are stuck and you're on your own, then you don't have to wait for sighted assistance because you can just dial up the app and you'll have someone be able to help you read what's on the screen and maybe even help you set it up. So, you know, it's well worth a try. That's it for our show this week, guys. Thank you so much. I know there's so many more emails we wanted to get to and we just couldn't because time is always against us. Blame Riz because he was here doing his bit.
Android again.
It's always Android's fault, isn't it?
It's always Android's fault.
But the Android Anorak will be back with us soon. Send your questions to him by emailing us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. If you've got questions, comments, or if you have an accessible printer, tell us about it. We'd love to know. You can email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. From me, Stephen Scott, from him, Sean Priest, and him, Tim Schwartz.
Bye-bye.
That's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll